partake of communion together. And I just want to continue on to help you to detoxify your life again. I talked about that 2 weeks ago. If you have your Bible, open it up to 2 Corinthians chapter 6. I want to pray, and I'm going to read that and just share a couple thoughts with you quickly. We'll partake of communion together. It's so good to be in God's house today. It feels so good to be here. Lord, I thank you for your love today, and thank you for your people. We're family here, God, together. These are family. And Lord, we just want to give you thanks for that today. Thank you for the young people singing as well. They're so beautiful, and what precious treasures. Lord, next doors, our big kids are going on even as we're speaking now. We pray you bless them and keep them and protect them in a great and in a powerful way. I give you all the thanks for it in Jesus' mighty name. And everyone said amen. Also, it's in the bulletin. Shandy asked me to remind everybody tonight, she's doing a health and a fitness in the Generation Center at 5 o'clock. That's going to be going on this month. So if you're interested in that at the Generation Center, 5 o'clock, she's going to be talking about eating better and some things that you can do. You might not have to make a big swing in it, but if you make a little swing, it'll make some difference in your life. When I met with my friend Robbie Raw, you know, me 3 years ago, my sons did an intervention on me and got me to go to the gym. They flat out lied to me. And they did whatever they could do to to invite me to go to the gym. And then I met Robbie Raw, and she said, if you're going to change your life, your body, you're going to have to go through a detoxification because there's toxins inside of you that are not healthy for you. And I lost, you know, the beginning of that, over 60 pounds. And two weeks ago, I back squatted 375 pounds. Not bad for an old guy. But what's more important than that is I want to handle things for the kingdom of God. And in order to do that, I can't have any toxins inside of me. Neither can you. In your heart, in your soul, I want to talk about that today because the soul is the seat of your emotions. You can be saved. You can be going to heaven. You can be on your way to heaven, and your life can be miserable because you've allowed some things to come in and be a part inside of you that are tearing you up. Paul says in the scripture in 2 Corinthians 6:14, he said, don't be yoked together. Do not be yoked together with unbelievers. And this just isn't for you if you're considering marriage. If you're saved and born again, do not be looking outside of the kingdom of God for your mate. You can marry somebody that's not saved, but you will pay a price for that the rest of your life. And Paul says, don't do it. He says, for what does righteousness and wickedness have in common? Or what fellowship can light have with darkness? What harmony is there between Christ and Belial or Satan? What does a believer have in common with an unbeliever? For what agreement is there between the temple of God and idols? And he says, we are the temple of the living God. You and I, not this building. You and I. We house the temple. We house the presence of the Lord inside of us. And God has said, I will live with them and I'll live among them and I'll be their God and they will be my people. And he says, therefore, come out from among them. Be separate, says the Lord. Don't touch any unclean thing. My father-in-law used to tell me, if it's doubtful, it's dirty. Don't touch it. He said, don't touch any unclean thing and I'll receive you. I'll be a father to you and you'll be my sons and daughters, says the Almighty. And then the next chapter, he says in 2 Corinthians 7:1, since we have these promises, dear friends, let us, everybody say me. Come on, everybody say me. Let us purify ourselves from everything that contaminates body and spirit. Some people are real good about eating right and exercising, but you're not good at keeping your soul and your spirit clean. He says, purify yourself from everything that contaminates the body and spirit, perfecting holiness out of reverence for God. So what do we need to be cleansed of? What are some things? There's several of them. The psalmist said in Psalm 42, why am I discouraged? Why is my heart so sad? What's going on inside of me? And he said there are some things that contaminate, that bring just a contamination to who you are as a person. And I've got a few of them. One of them is unforgiveness. And what a great morning to deal with that before we partake of the table of the Lord together. Sometimes we don't even know that we're getting bitter and we're holding resentment against someone. You know, it's like your smartphone. You walk into a Wi-Fi area and it automatically picks up the Wi-Fi. And sometimes, you know, somebody can do something to you and all of a sudden you cop this attitude towards someone or something that you hold bitterness and anger towards. And God said that if you have that inside of you, it's going to bring a toxin in you and it's going to have a negative effect on not only you, but everyone around you. Maybe you've gone through something in your life, in your marriage, in your family that has hurt you, or somebody has said something to you. You've got to release that and let them go. You say, well, that's easier said than done. You're right, but you still have to work on it. Somebody said, having unforgiveness or bitterness is like setting yourself on fire and hoping that the other person will die from smoke inhalation. You're the one that is suffering. Hebrews 12:15 says, see that no one falls short of the grace of God, and that no bitter root grows up to cause trouble, not only for you, but then he says, and defile many. There's husbands, there's fathers. You're upset, you're mad at something that somebody has done or something, and you let that, and you bring it in your home, and you let that go right throughout your house. And today you need to bring that to the foot of the cross and let God detoxify you from that unforgiveness. Another one is comparison. We're worried about what other people think, and we must get our identity from the Lord. You can't think and worry about all the time what somebody else thinks about you. Oh, what's this one? What that one say about me? What that one say? Listen, if somebody's not saying something about you, you're probably not breathing. Amen. But James says in James 3:14, but if you harbor bitter envy and selfish ambition in your hearts, do not boast about it. Do not deny the truth. Such wisdom does not come down from heaven. But look at it. It's earthly. It's unspiritual. And here it is. It's demonic. For here you have envy and selfish ambition. There you find disorder and every evil practice. Everyone. When you're so concerned and you're worried about what others are thinking, you forget. What's God thinking about me? What's he saying about me? What does he want for me? And I'm going to go up higher, and I'm going to begin to look and see what he says for me. Instead of you always looking and wondering what somebody else is saying, how about opening up the book and finding out what God is saying about you? Another toxin of the soul is anger. Are you mad, bro? What you mad about? Some of you, you're mad all the time. I had a friend that he described a friend of his. He said he has an even temper. He's mad all the time. Some of you, you're angry about being angry. You've gotten angry and now you stay angry over it. You let people and things upset you. And because of that, you just expel all this energy towards that thing or that person. This makes me angry. That makes me angry. I don't like this and I don't like that. How about changing the words that come out of your mouth instead of saying about all the things that make you mad? How about all the things that make you glad? How about the things that make you happy? How about the things that bring joy into your life? Come on, focus on these things. Whatsoever things are good, pure, true, good report, praiseworthy. Focus your mind on these things. Get rid of the anger in your life. Get rid of it. Mad at this one, mad at that one, mad at that job. I knew a guy one time, he had 15 jobs and he had gone to 10 different churches. And they were all bad and all the old jobs and employers were bad and all the pastors were bad. But I found one thing that was constant with all of them things, him. And if you're always saying everybody else bad, my brother and my sister, you got to take a good look at you. And James 4 says, what causes fights and quarrels among you? Don't they come from your desires that battle where? Within you. You desire, you don't have, so you kill, you covet, and you cannot get what you want, so you quarrel, you fight. And you do not have because you do not ask who? God. You got to let that go. You can't be angry about everything and blaming everybody and everything else for what? Oh, the government's this, and I don't want that one elected. And if this person, the end of the world's coming, and oh, I'm mad about everything. Come on. Which leads me to worry. Some of you, you're worrying about everything. Worry is assuming responsibility that God never intended for you to have. Worry tries to change your past, control your future by polluting your right now. Worry is like a rocking chair. It gets a lot of movement, but you don't go nowhere. And the question isn't whether or not you worry. The question is, when worry comes to you, what do you do with it? Do you deal with it, or do you let it just control you? Because if you do, it'll infuse your life and you'll become physically ill because of worry. Worried about your kids, your job, worried about the economy, the end of the world's coming in September. Worry. And Jesus says in Matthew 6, can any one of you by worrying, what? Add a single hour to your life? And here's the issue right here, that some people are so concerned about this life that they're worried about everything, that you're not focused on the life that where you're supposed to be going and heading. Whether you like it or not, believe it or not, this is not your final home. Amen. You are not going to reside forever. The Bible says that you were born with a date and a time in mind. There is appointed unto each man to die once. You're going to die. This is not your final home. Philippians 3:20, Paul says, our citizenship is not on earth, it's in heaven. That's where our real home is. And we eagerly await our Savior from there, the Lord Jesus Christ. But if all you put your stock in everything on this earth, you're going to be full of worry, and it's going to fill your heart and your soul with a toxin that's going to have a negative effect. You'll even look older. You'll be grumpy. You ever been around anyone that's grumpy? Honey, don't raise your hand. It's because there's a toxin inside of you. Proverbs 4:23, keep your heart with diligence, for out of it springs forth the issues of life. You could be saved, you can be going to heaven, but you can be so polluted on the inside that it clouds your life so much that nothing you do will make you happy. And that's why some people drown who they are in alcohol and drug abuse and prescription drugs and everything else. And none of them will make you happy. It will bring you back from where you started. Some people say, well, yeah, it gives me a moment of peace. Why settle for a moment of peace when you can have the Prince of Peace living inside of you? Woo! So what do we do? What steps can I take? And I'm going to close on these. You got to have the right people in your life, the right relationships in your life. In 5 years, your life will be defined by the people you're around today and the books that you read. 5 years. Show me your crowd, and I'll show you your future. My mom says, I know what you've been up to by the people you hung around. I hated it when she told me that. She was so true. I'd lie right to her. I said, oh, honey, Mom, they're great people. She goes, no, I know what you've been doing. I can smell it on you too. Amen. The right people will move you towards your destiny, and the wrong people will take you away. Listen to me today. Proverbs 13:20 says, he who walks with the wise, he grows wise, but the companion of fools, he going to be in jail or hurt or destroyed. You got to have the right people in your life. You have to know what your God-defined identity is. You got to know who's made you. Who are you? I've been made in the image of Christ. I've been made in the likeness of God. I have the DNA of my Father. I need to know who has created me. And I can't trust my feelings or the culture that I live in to define who I am. I heard a Christian the other day, because of their political position, say, I am pro-choice. You cannot listen to me. And I know some people, you won't like it, but deal with it. You cannot be pro-choice, be pro-destroying children in the womb of a mother, and say that you love God and love humanity. That is a culture thing. That's not a Christian thing. And that, listen, if you've been through that, there's grace for you. And we'll pray and God can heal you and lift you up. But I don't want anybody else going through that. That's not a way out. We shouldn't adhere to that. I don't care what political party you're a part of. That is not a godly view. And we cannot allow our culture to define that as a part of our doing. Oh, I'm this and I'm that. No, you're a Christian first. And you need to walk with that and let God lead you and guide you. Come on today, hear me now. Let him create in you who you are called to be, no one else. And you have to learn also, if you're going to be free of the toxins, live a crucified life. And that's not popular in our time frame. We don't want to hear about that. Oh, well, I just want to be happy. Let me tell you something. When you receive Christ as your Savior and you make a decision that your life is going to change, you're going to walk with him, your beliefs will determine your behavior. And some of us have to live and walk a crucified life and let the power of the cross lay against some of those old vices in us and rid us of those old habits and those old bends and ways of living. You have to do that. You have to let him. Well, doesn't God love me anyway? I am. Of course he does. But he's not loving you so you can just keep on acting like a fool and throw your life down the road in a bad direction. Is that too strong this morning? Oh, I love that. Unison. Live the crucified life. Paul said in Galatians 2:20, I've been crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live. Yet not I, but Christ that liveth in me. I'm quoting it from the New King James. It's in the new NIV up above there. I've been crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ that liveth in me. For the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself up for me. I live a crucified life. I don't like what God puts on my plate every day, but because I love him, I'll let him alter my behavior. I live that for him. Galatians 5 says, so I say, walk by the Spirit. You won't fulfill the lust of your flesh. Stay in the Spirit of God. Stay serving the Lord. Stay feeding your spirit. Read the Word of God. Get into Bible studies. Come to church. Turn on the worship music. Turn off the nonsense on the television. And turn on the goodness of God over your life today. Come on today. If you believe that, give him a praise right now. And last, and I want all the folks that are going to help with the communion right now, I want you to come. You have to live. You're going to get rid of, detoxify a sick heart. You got to live with an eternal perspective. Some of you are so caught up in this world and what you can get. And I'm all for, listen, I'm all for having goals and I'm all for reaching out. And I'm all for moving ahead. I'm all for accomplishment. I'm all for that. But if that's all you're all for, your all is very small. But when you get an eternal perspective, you begin to see heaven. You begin to see eternity as bigger. And this world begins to shrink right before your eyes. Guys, I want you to just go ahead and begin to hand out. Oh, I love you guys doing this. Yeah. Amen. When you receive the bread and the cup, I want you to hold it. If you've never given your heart to Christ, we're going to pray just before we do this so you're right with God. If there's something in your heart that's off today, you can make it right with him. He'll forgive you. He loves you. You haven't gone too far. There's nothing too dark that he can't make light again. You got to have an eternal perspective. Hallelujah. There's probably something a little off about me. That was not a good time to say amen. Take away. When I do that memorial service this Friday for Brian Black, I'm actually going to love that moment. I'm going to love it because I know Brian is in heaven. And I'm also going to love it because at the end of that, there'll be some other people that will make that decision. I live for that. I live for telling people that God wants to liberate them and save them. I live for that. Nothing, oh, nothing makes me more excited than that. Nothing. I love a great I love a great meal. I love all that. I love my grandkids are the greatest treasure, my family, my kids, my wife. I love that. But I'm going to tell you something that moves beyond all that with me. Leading somebody to Christ. Giving them an eternal perspective. You get your mind on things above, not things below, it'll change everything here. It'll change it all. I had a friend explain to me about the balcony effect. He said, you know what you need? You need balcony time in your life. I go, what do you mean? He said, you need to get higher. He said, you're down where all the people are around walking around, but if you'll get up higher, you'll get up in the balcony. If you go to a great theater and there's a balcony there, you get above all of that and you look down. You get a whole nother perspective. Some of you, you got to change your perspective and you got to have an eternal perspective in life, because when you do, it changes how you deal with things on earth. It'll change your decision process. It'll change how you process things, how you look at things. You won't let what people say or do to you have the effect on you, because you're just moving through here. My father-in-law used to tell me all the time, in the old Wesleyan Methodist Church way up on West Main years ago, there was a preacher there by the name of John Woodhouse. He said he preached so hard he'd jump, his feet would be as high as the pulpit. I gotta try that sometime. I don't think I'll make it though. And he used to say, John Woodhouse, tell you, don't get your roots down too deep here. You're just passing through here. Just passing through. Colossians 3, since then you have been raised with Christ. Set your hearts on things above where Christ is seated at the right hand of God. Set your minds on things above, not on earthly things. I want to make sure everybody's been served that wants to. If you weren't served, I want you to raise your hand up right now. I know they're still working on them over here. Put your hand up. Anybody right around here on this side? Anyone? Good. Thank you, kids, so much. I love you all. Parents, live that life before your children, too. Don't make church an option. Don't look out the window on Sunday morning. Well, is it raining? I don't want to get wet. Is it sunshining? I got something better to do. Is it cold? I don't have my winter coat. Is there snow on the ground? I don't want to shovel the driveway. Teach your kids. Get an eternal perspective. The psalmist, I read it at the beginning, Psalm 42, 5 and 6. Why am I so discouraged? Why is my heart so sad? I'll put my hope in God. I'll praise Him again, my Savior and my God. This moment, we're going to take the bread. If you've never given your life to Christ, you just say this morning, Father, forgive me of my sin. I want you to be my Lord and Savior. Come into my life. I give you my heart. I want you to take the bread. Close your eyes. Jesus, in the night he was betrayed, he took bread, he broke it, he blessed it. He gave it. He said, this is my body broken for you. Take it, eat it, every one of you. As you do, remember what I've done. Let's partake of the bread, the body of the Lord, together. The same way he took the cup. Oh God, we thank you for the blood. Thank you for the blood. Hallelujah. He said, this is my blood, which has been poured out for many. This blood is for you. It'll cleanse your life. It'll forgive you of sin. We sang it. He poured his blood out so we could be white as snow. when we do this, we remember what he has done for each of us. By his stripes we are healed. If you're sick in your body today, receive healing right now from the Master. Hallelujah. Let's partake of the cup, the blood of the Lord. We love you, Lord. Praise your name. Praise your name. I pray for my brothers and my sisters today. Encouragement, life, health to all their flesh. Those who are sick in the body, those family, those that are friend, I pray you send your word to them now and heal them. Those that are here today that are struggling inside, lift them up, God. Be the glory and the lifter of their head, I pray. I give you all the thanks for it in Jesus' name. Come on, and everybody said amen today. Amen. You're thankful for the Lord today? Ushers, I want you to get ready. Again, the end of the month, our missions offering today. I want you to get ready, guys, and come right down. As you sow today, you're going to sow into another nation, to another country. Thank you for your faithfulness in giving today. You can use the offering envelope. You can use the push pay as well. There's a slot on there for missions. Come on down. Father, blessings. Thank you for what you've done here. Thank you for the opportunity to give to the work of the Lord in France, Marseille, France. I ask you, God, to be honored and blessed as we give today in the name of Jesus. And everyone said amen. God bless you today as you give. I also wanted to tell you that Chris Buzniak will be speaking this Thursday night. I told him he's got to get oiled up a little bit for the trip. And so that'll be at 7 o'clock right here. Everyone, you're welcome all the time. There's an early morning prayer here, Tuesday morning from 6 a.m. to 7, right in the sanctuary. And then there's a men's Bible study out back from 7 to 8. There's a men's Bible study on Wednesday nights, right out back here at 7 to 8 o'clock at night. And then there's another Bible study at 11 o'clock out back, that's for everybody, a.m. on Thursday. Everybody's welcome to that. And then I know the ladies' Bible study, that's going to start up again in just a couple weeks. And then our midweek on Thursday nights here at 7 o'clock. I love you. Hug somebody. High five them on the way out. Bless them. Care for you. If you need prayer for anything, come on down here. I want some of the prayer folk, come on up here before you leave. And we believe God for you. Go in his grace today.